Do you guys have a fun time when you come here on a Sunday? Is it an exciting day for you? You don't have to say yes. I'm hearing amens. All right, okay. That's the way it is for me. And I pick out different songs I get to listen to on the way down here, and I just have a blast. I'd love to watch the other cars that are watching me as I'm going by because it's bizarre and so much fun. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for Courtney, for Stu, for Pastor Alicia, for all the kids, for everyone here in the congregation. I thank you to be able to see Cam again today, to see Paul, and so many that I haven't seen in just a little bit, and it's always wonderful to see people again. So, Lord, I lift them up to you. I pray that your word would be a blessing on everyone's ears today, including mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Do the little things. Do you remember last week when we had Dave Huseby? He was the director for Covenant World Relief, and he talked about kind of unexpected things. And I think the title of his message was, What's in Your House? And Elisha goes to the widow woman, and she is beside herself. She has nothing she can do. She says, Prophet of God, man of God, can you help me? And we would kind of expect he would go, be healed. Or take his staff, you know, like Dave was talking about, and touching the rock and having the water come out. Or, hey, let's bring manna down. Let's do something special for you right now. And what does he say? He says, what's in your house? And she's completely bewildered by that, like, well, you know, I just told you I don't have anything. Well, maybe there's a mat there. Well, maybe there's, and then suddenly she goes, oh, I have just a little bit of oil. And back in that time, oil was an absolute essential to cook, to make more food. So she says, I have a little bit. And without preaching Dave's sermon again, Elisha says, go ahead and start filling up your jars. Get as many as you can. And it just fills and fills and fills and fills. And her needs are more than met. And the takeaway in that was, what do you have that you can add to this? What is your portion? And here we have Naaman being asked to do a simple thing. He has leprosy. And I know you've probably all heard about it. Or you've looked at old National Geographics. I remember when I was a kid and I'd turn pages and I couldn't touch certain pages. You know, the spider's there and you go, hey, you know, and you challenge your sister, see if you can touch this page. I remember turning a page one day and seeing a guy who had lost his nose, and he had a cork stuffed in the hole. And I remember going, oh, that's, I was filled with disgust, rejection, and compassion all at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I feel so bad for this guy, but I can't look at him. Completely disfigured from leprosy. And we think that's an old disease, it's gone. Yet we find that it's not gone. So Naaman, in the Old Testament, great general, says, you know, I've heard of this prophet, and I can go there, and I can be healed. And he gets there, and he has the same kind of query brought to him, doesn't he? He goes down, and I'm just going to read you this. It's Elisha again. This is what he likes to drive this home, doesn't he? And he gets there, And he says, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know there's a prophet in Israel. So Elisha knows he's going to take care of it through the power of God. So amen to that. That's great. So Naaman comes with his horses and chariots, stops at the door of Elisha's house. Can you imagine that? Hi, I'm Naaman. I have leprosy. I've come. You're going to take care of this, right? But Elisha doesn't even answer it. You ever had that? Tell him I'm busy. I'm on the other phone. Like, what? This guy came, and he knew he was coming. But he gives him instructions. He says, tell the messenger, tell him, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. And Naaman is like, you were going to do a cool miracle right on me, and I'd be able to tell everybody about it. And now you tell me. It's kind of like, go heal yourself. But what is Elisha doing here? He's having Naaman participate. It's kind of like, what do you have in your house? Can you do this little thing for me? Can you show a little faith? And he's mad. So he leaves. He went away angry. And here's what he says. I thought he'd surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Wave his hand. Does that sound like hocus pocus? He can wave his hand on me. It's going to be great. And then he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? So there, now he's getting cultural. It's better in my country than it is in this Palestine, in this Israel, where they have the Jordan River. I don't like that river. Mine are better. Why was I not healed? I wash in those rivers in my country, and I'm not cleansed. So he's in a rage. And isn't it cool that servants come after him? And they say, wait, my father. Can you imagine him? Like, I'm sorry. Could you just reconsider? You ever had that? I mean, maybe even go back to our kids who were here doing niceties for you. Hopefully when you get home, they'll have cooked lunch for you. You know, no. But little niceties, and then they do something wrong, or they're trying to give you maybe even a little corrective that they see, and they go, Dad, I don't want to get in your face, but don't you think that maybe you could do it like this? And they're afraid. They don't want to correct the boss. So at that point, they say, my father, if the prophet has told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says, wash and be cleansed, you should do it? How much more then, and I'm going to add the little word, do this little thing. It's just easy. It's little. Don't you think it'd be worth the try? It's like, oh, it's 7 times, man. Okay, but just do it one after the other. So what does he do? He does it. Dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and as Elisha had told him, his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young man. Now, the interesting thing is, he's like, okay. No, he got excited. Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God, back to Elisha. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. That is phenomenal. It is the miracle that he wanted. Yet it was his little thing. His little grain of sand. And in our New Testament text, we have the same thing in the Lucan text. There are 10 lepers. And only one comes back and glorifies and thanks Jesus for what he has done. Why do you think Luke emphasizes who this man was? You know about the background of this Samaritans and foreigners who were disdained so much by the Jews that people going from one city to another, they had to cross through Samaria, and what would they do? They'd say, going around this place, this is riffraff here. Take an extra day's journey or a half day's journey to get around Samaria so you wouldn't have to walk through those people. It's a big deal because out of the 10 cleansed, the 9 didn't come back, and the one who did was the foreigner, the Samaritan. This, my friends, I believe, is part of the beginning of reaching out beyond the Jewish nation. Jesus wrought this sharing of the deliverance of all mankind. Here, the little response required is a logical one. Someone has done you a small favor, and you thank him or her for it. Wouldn't you? Naaman was cleansed. He was blown out of his mind. He comes back, can I give you a gift? Can I give you something? This man is healed. He comes back glorifying Jesus, praising him, thanking him. That's his little piece that he puts in. Jesus says, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? That's not said like, oh, you're a foreigner. It's said, this is where the kingdom of God is now going. Jesus did it with the woman at the well. He did it countless times in his ministry. He began to reach out and go further than all the chosen people. And then he says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. If you would thank someone for a small favor, what about when someone totally changes your life? And I believe that is what has truly happened here. I have some images that I would like to show you. It happened when I went on a mission trip to Trichy, India, and they immediately took me to a leper colony. I thought, and I apologize if some of these pictures are just bizarre, but they are. And it wasn't my first experience with lepers. I had run into some lepers in various places in Colombia, and I remember giving money to a man on the street. And it was so crazy because I remember Princess Di had been around lepers and she was touching them, and I thought, well, I'm going to touch them too. So I touched this man and I blessed him and I talked to him and I gave him a little bit of money. He had stubs for fingers and he had a box and he would whack at it like this so you'd hear the money and then you'd give. And I remember thinking, I shouldn't touch him. But then I thought, I need to touch him. And so I did, but when I got home, I thought, maybe I should wash my hands. You know, I mean, I don't know everything about this disease. I found out more about it later, that wasn't as dangerous a thing as I had thought. This was one of the men that I ran into first. It might be hard to see, but probably he only has about 2 toes on each foot, and he has, I think, about 3 fingers and his thumbs. The next. As I talked to him, he just was wanting to engage. They were in their own isolated colony. We'll go to the next. We can go to the next one. These are their areas. Some of the people would not come out. Probably, thankfully, some of these pictures got a little bit fuzzy with the light. And they were all just, this is where they lived for the rest of their lives. And then they asked if we would share with them. You can see, you can probably see better than I can with the stubbiness of their fingers. And the next one would be fine. And go to the next. And then they asked us to speak to them, which we did. I gave a short message. It was translated by, you can go to the next. And here I was just getting ready. They just constantly were having me preach and speak. And so I had a lot of in my back pocket messages, but after a while they ran out. So I just started just asking the Lord, just give me something. And it was really a blessing. This man's half of his right foot is gone, and he just has a club for his right hand. It was very moving. These people were very receptive. And then I got to go and give them some nourishment. They had prepared some different foods that we could give to them, and they were very appreciative. Some of the people were smiling, and others were just in a little bit of misery, so we tried to brighten their, at least this day, for them. Okay, thank you. I think the example is clear. As odd as it sounds, even being cured of an illness or a major disease is a pittance, isn't it? The reality is that the Lord Jesus offers us salvation from eternal darkness. We can be saved. I mean, this is forever. Our thankfulness should go beyond compare. It's incredible to see photos of people in that kind of misery, and it kind of puts our, like, I just came off of being ill for about 3 weeks, and it was kind of miserable. And then I see stuff like this, and I think, I don't have it bad at all. It all begins to be relative. It ought to move us, I think, to benevolence toward others. It ought to bring us to a point of working toward the good of all humankind. We ought to have feelings of love and gentleness toward everyone. What are the little things that each of us can be doing? Should we seek to obey our Lord in our joy? I think maybe we ought to reach out to others with the message of eternal life. That might be the best little thing of all. And it's not a little thing, is it? It's massive. If it's too hard to start with, what do you think we could do? Maybe it's a question akin to that which I put to the children this morning. What types of things could you do to express your gratefulness to your parents? Who are the people in your life that you can show kindness to? What can we all do to show love to our neighbor? After all, that's the second greatest commandment, isn't it? So maybe that should be high on our list. Do you have any examples? Part of me didn't want to do this and just interact with you right now and have you raise your hand and shout something out. I wanted to make it rhetorical, but if it is bursting inside you, you just had an epiphany and you're thinking, I could do this, or we could do that. Go ahead and shout it out. Is there anything you think that might seem like a little thing that we could do that would take away some of the misery in our world? Food pantry. Food pantry. Thank you, Desiree. Thank you, Desiree. And you know what's so cool about Desiree sharing this is that Larry and Lorraine, John, Grace are already helping do this for affordable recovery housing. So we wouldn't even have to reinvent the wheel. We could adapt that even here. Somebody else. Yes, in the back. Yes. Okay, so going out and giving communion, which some of us have done here, but it sounds like we maybe need to up the ante. Thank you. Yes. Okay, give to Garden Mission for Thanksgiving dinner. And I've even been receiving mailers like that lately from that organization, also from Salvation Army. There are so many things that we can do. Just one more. We have time for one more. Yes, Gordon. Okay, so Gordon is suggesting more baptism. Maybe the way we could do that is to just extend an open invitation for people who may not have received it. We as pastoral staff try to find out who would like to be baptized. Many times we rely on people coming to us and asking, but maybe we should be more proactive in going out and saying, hey, is this something you would like? That's great. Thank you. Thank you for those ideas. And hopefully it's just a churning thought process now that's going on for us. I remember working with a Colombian colleague. His name was Manuel Castañeda. And he was a co-director with me of a drug rehabilitation center in Medellin, Colombia. He told me that he had visited another city within Colombia. And the words he used with me, he says, "Oye, hermano Marco, nunca he pasado tanta sed." And I was confused by his comment. He says, "Brother Mark, I have never experienced so much thirst as when I was visiting that city." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Here in Medellin, you come over and it's coffee or Coca-Cola or a glass of water or some tea. People are all over you within our churches there to make sure that they show you hospitality." He had visited another city, and the people were polite and kind, but they never offered him, at least in his experience that week that he stayed there, anything to drink. And he said, "I was miffed. I was thirsty all the time, and I didn't know what to do or what to say to them." I mean, it's like, "Hey, dude, I'm kind of thirsty. Can you give me something?" He was too embarrassed, but he came and told me. It was just simple hospitality. And it drew me to the passage. We're not going to cover it today, but just the remembrance of Matthew 25. When people asked Jesus at the judgment, "When did we visit you in prison? When did we take care of you and clothe you? When did we give you food? When did we give you just a glass of water?" And then he says, "As much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." This, my friends, is biblical. This is something we need to do. A little thing done for someone else doesn't just bless that other person, doesn't just come back to you in blessing. It blesses our Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if we are ministering to our own Savior. Do the little things, and in so doing, you will be honoring the one worthy of all praise, our Lord Jesus. Is this not serving? It is. It is being a servant. Being a servant leader. Please pray with me.